right, good friends. And welcome. It is 4 p.m. Central Time. Actually, you know, a few minutes afterwards because of the news. But in any case, generally speaking, our show starts at 4 p.m. on Central Time. And we go until 5 every Monday through Friday right here on GCN. Good afternoon. My name is Tom Kiley, and welcome to INN World Report Radio. INN World Report is a group of alternative media activists right here in New York City, just about a half mile north or so of Ground Zero. And we come to you, like I just said, 5 days a week here on GCN. And we have an interesting show for you today. We've got human rights attorney Charles Bonner, who is a crusader, actually, particularly in the area of, the child sex trade. Unfortunately, it's a very nasty business, and he's seen many, many cases. He's created a novel, actually, called The Bracelet about it to highlight the problems there. So he's going to come on with us, in about 10 minutes or so to talk with us about his new novel and about that state of affairs, something that a lot of people really don't know much about. It's a very uncomfortable subject. But nevertheless, maybe you'll learn a few things. Maybe we can pick up some tips from Charles on, you know, what's going on with that and what to watch out for. So he'll be with us in just a few minutes. In any case, the phone lines are going to open up right now, 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933. Give me a call, whatever is on your mind. And I can tell you, friends, I've been pretty busy all weekend working with author H.P. Alborelli, Hank Alborelli Jr., who, if you are a regular listener to this program, you'll know that he's a guest that we've had on. Actually, I believe it was the first time, probably was the end of last year, with his novel, A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Cold War Experiments. You've heard me talk about this book a great deal. Well, if you're a regular to the program and you've heard that, you can consider that you heard about this first and you heard about this early, because his book is now just breaking, friends, all around the world, particularly in France, due to the nature of the information uncovered in his book. If you go to the web, you know, I don't like to use Google to do many searches, but I will go to Google when I'm searching for news items. If you go to news.google.com and in the search box, you type in P-O-N-T space S-T period space E-S-P-I-R-T, Point Saint-Esprit, E-S-P-I-R-T, you'll get just hundreds of stories coming back from all over the world about how the CIA dosed that town with LSD back in August of 1951. There are people who are still alive who remember that incident. They want to know what the truth is. It's being reported that the French government is now making inquiries to the United States government. And that story is just going all around the world. You'll see it in Chinese. You'll see it in Greek. You'll see it in all these different languages. And now, finally, here in New York City, this story is finally being picked up as well. A lot of the CIA's Cold War experiments with LSD happened right here in New York City. And indeed, the murder of CIA scientist Frank Olson happened right here in New York City as well. And so there's a major New York City dimension to the book. Well, the New York Post, the third largest paper here in New York City, ran a story on this last weekend. In fact, I think it was yesterday. And now lots of New York City newspapers are starting to carry the story as well. And so now it's on two fronts. It's just an amazing effect that's going on. I know that Hank is planning on a trip to Europe to do some press conferences over there. But, you know, friends, there's that famous expression, you know you're getting close to the target when you start taking on some flack. Well, there's some more news to this story, and it's developing. I'll get more for you maybe by tomorrow. But apparently, Hank Alborelli's summer home, he's originally from Vermont, and he lives in Vermont when the weather is warmer. He lives down in Florida the rest of the year. Apparently, Hank Alborelli's summer home in Vermont was broken into. I think it was a U.S. Border Patrol agent who's one of Hank's neighbors discovered it a few days ago, and the police are involved, his insurance company's involved, and so forth. But there you have it. Somebody broke into his house, and apparently rifled through all of his papers and his notes and so forth, leaving behind things like his checkbook and so forth. So there you have it already. Major coincidence, wouldn't you say, that somebody's going through his papers in his home. So I do hope that Hank is safe. He said so on this program many times, and I'll repeat it. He is not interested or prone to depression or suicide or anything like that. But we need to get the word out, friends, when people go up against very powerful interests. You don't know what could happen. So I'm relying on you, the audience. Those of you who have listened to Hank on this program, I'll probably have him back on shortly because it's just an amazing, amazing adventure. He is getting interviews every day from, in some cases, from foreign countries and so forth. And the book is just taking off. I think it's even now backlogged on Amazon. I think it's the number one selling foreign book in France. So we had him on this show early and often. So if you're a regular listener to this program, you were part of some major breaking news. And there's a long way to go yet as well. There's many fascinating stories within that book. But, yes, so we have some breaking news. Hank Alberelli, Jr., author of A Terrible Mistake, the murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Cold War experiments, has had his home broken into up in Vermont. That, by the way, is a Trine Day book, T-R-I-N-E-D-A-Y. If you want to find out more about the book, you can go to trineday.com. But go to Google News and search for LSD, CIA, and New York and Subway, and you'll get a whole bunch of articles coming back to you. Go to Google News and search for Alberelli, A-L-B-A-R-E-L-L-I, and you'll get just tons of stories back. So, you know, it's just a big, big success and lots of interest around the world. Now, keep in mind, friends, the information that Alberelli brings out in his book here that he worked 10 years on, okay, has eluded at least 5 official government investigations. The first one that didn't get to the truth was the actual murder death investigation of Hank Olson, Frank Olson, I should say, right here in New York City. The police never found out what happened. They assumed it was a suicide. So that the whole thing was killed right there. Well, of course, the CIA was involved. There was a CIA associate of Olson's in the room with him who didn't even call the police when he claims he heard the window break and saw his friend flying through it. Well, that guy went downtown. His name was Lashbrook. That guy went downtown and was back within about an hour or so. End of the story. And then in the 70s, there was the church committee hearings. They did not successfully get to the bottom of this. And then also in the 70s, the Rockefeller Commission hearings, bullet number 3, that a little bit came out. The word did come out that there was a CIA scientist who had been dosed with acid and jumped out a window. The Olson family heard that and then went to President Ford himself and tried to get an investigation of the death of their father. And what happened was Dick Cheney was at the time in the 70s, 1975, this was. Dick Cheney was Gerald Ford's deputy chief of staff, and he wrote a memo. And if you go to Hank's website, if you go to Trine Day and click on the book, you can see Hank's website. He's got this document posted on the web. You can see it, U.S. government document. Dick Cheney telling his boss, Donald Rumsfeld, who was Gerald Ford's chief of staff, to tell the president we can't investigate this. That was investigation number 4 that dodged a bullet. And then in the 90s, the Olson family had the father's body exhumed, and that investigation went nowhere. 5 different investigations. Hank Alberelli did get to the bottom of it in his book. All right, we'll be right back, good friends. This is Tom Colley, INM World Report Radio, just after this.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Rachel, are you there? Yeah, also, by the way I like to go is when the music comes up before I go on, you don't make the mic live until I tell you I'm okay, and then you guys count me in, 3, 2, 1, you're live, and then I start talking. So that way I know when the mic is on, okay? Very good, thank you. All right, good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio. I'm sorry, friends, we had a little bit of technical difficulty apparently there on that last break. And we're having a little bit of a hard time reaching our guest, Charles Bonner. I hope he'll be joining us shortly. But in any case, that's quite all right. Why don't you call me? We can be the guests on the program together. 866-582-9933. Toll free call, 866-582-9933. Give me a ring. Open topic, whatever you'd like to discuss, call me, and I'll send you off a book just for calling into the program. That would be it would be great to hear from you out there. Now, in the meanwhile, a couple of other things in the news. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but apparently the Obama administration is going along with rules and laws that say now that if you're arrested, the government can take a sample of your DNA if you're arrested. You know, what's that all about? Talk about not, guilty and innocent until proven guilty, excuse me. The government now, if Obama has his way, can take a swab of your a DNA sample if you're arrested, and not just for a major crime, friends, but not just for big felonies and so forth, but you just get arrested and they can take a sample of your DNA. Now, what the heck is that all about? All right, to begin with, as I understand it, DNA is not as precise as your fingerprints, okay? So there theoretically could be other people that have DNA, but it can go into a database and it can be used to determine all manner of things, including your likelihood of getting certain diseases and so forth. So, what's that all about? Apparently the ACLU is going to fight this thing. But this is just another example of, you know, Barack Obama. Everybody thought they were going to get change that they could believe in. And it seems like that is not the case whatsoever. What are your thoughts? 866-582-9933. Give me a ring. The phone lines are wide open right now. And you can join the program. So in any case, like that. So I was telling you earlier, you know, our friend who comes onto the program, Hank Albarelli Jr., the author of that that book about Frank Olson's murder here in New York City. His home was broken into. I think it's very interesting. We'll be getting more details on that. I believe somebody's going to go up to cover that in Vermont for us so we can find out about that. What do you folks think? You think it's just coincidence, or do you think that now that Mr. Albarelli's book is out there and it is getting so much press around the world that it's just a coincidence that somebody broke into his home and went through his papers and so forth? I've been reading the comments, friends, on a lot of the blogs and a lot of the comments for the articles. You know, you wouldn't believe how many people are out there that will take the government's word and just bite into it hook, line, and sinker. You know, it's like the flat earthers out there that think that 9/11 happened just exactly the way the government says it did. You know, that physics went out the window on September 11th, 2001, and you could get the tops of those buildings to just crush through all that cold, hard steel below them in the same time as it would take just about if they were, if the top of that building was falling through air to come down. Like all those people, the flat earthers. But some of the comments I'm reading, you know, that the cover story that was put out about the episode in France in August of 1951 when weaponized LSD was used to test out sort of like on battlefield conditions, okay? The cover story that was put out was that maybe they had ergot poisoning in the bread, okay? Because the fungus ergot that grows on rye grain in the field and that can get into your food, it does produce a hallucinogenic effect. And it is what the Sandoz company in Basel, Switzerland, in the late 30s, began to study. And eventually, I think they were working on a migraine cure for migraines. And they were working on these alkaloids, I believe, that are in ergot. And they ended up synthesizing LSD in the 40s. And Albert Hoffman was the name of the scientist in Sandoz in Basel. Beautiful town. Well, interesting town, I should say, Basel. You know, Basel is at the very top of Switzerland where Germany and France and Switzerland all come together on the Rhine River. And just south of Germany and France is the Swiss town of Basel. And, of course, Switzerland has very, very large drug company business there, and Sandoz is one of them. In any case, we'll be right back.
Special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for the natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring out a unique flavor that make this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. And see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
All right, good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, right here on the great GCN Radio Network, Monday through Friday from 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, where we like to say that we bring you the news the networks won't tell you. And I apologize, friends. Our guest, Charles Bonner, doesn't seem to be here, so we're going to have to probably arrange for him to come back at another time. But that's okay. That's all right. We've got plenty to talk about. And I invite you to be the guest. The phone lines are wide open, 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. It's a toll-free call. Call me up, and I'll be happy to send off a book for you. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'm talking about this great book from Trine Day Publishing, TRINEDAY.com, from Hank Albarelli Jr., the Olson case, the mysterious case about the CIA scientist. You know what? Call me up, and I'll send you a copy of that book. It is... you can't even get that book right now on Amazon, friends. It is so hot right now, that book. It's sold out for the moment on Amazon. I'm sure they'll get it back going again. So if you've been trying to get a copy of that book, call me up and let's talk about it, and I'll be happy to send you off a copy. I have a few copies here at my place that Trine Day gave me to help publish the promote the book with. First caller to give me a ring, 866-582-9933, and you got yourself a copy of A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Cold War Experiments from Hank Albarelli Jr. This is a book that is over 900 pages, thoroughly documented, 100,000 or so pages of documentation behind this book. And before the break, I was telling you about how many investigations the matters that are exposed in this book have dodged. Starting with the New York City Police Department investigation on the death of Frank Olson. They said it was a suicide. Albarelli proves in his book that he was murdered. He was thrown out the window. He was no longer reliable. He was talking about the secret experiments that the CIA was working on, that he was part of, that were disgusting him, okay, making him sick about it. Particularly Project Span, Operation Span, where they dosed this town in France with LSD. Now, keep in mind, friends, also, back in the 50s, in the early 50s, when the CIA was experimenting with LSD, most everyone in the world had no clue as to what LSD was. So you can only imagine the horror that these people in France went through when their whole town got dosed, and about 300 of them or so, or more, were hallucinating and just going crazy from this stuff. You know, at least nowadays, somebody, if they started to go through that, they would have an idea about hallucinogenic drugs, and they could say, well, geez, maybe somebody's dosed me or something. No, not the case. These poor people thought they were just going mad. There were people jumping out of windows and that sort of thing. And there was older people that died. A couple of young people died as well. Absolutely horrible. And who went into the town to do the investigation as to what was going on, but none other than Sandoz Corporation itself, the Swiss company who created LSD, synthesized LSD. So this is the fox guarding the henhouse. This is very much like the JFK assassination, okay, wherein the CIA should be a prime culprit, particularly Alan Dulles, after he was fired by John Kennedy for doing such a horrible job with the Bay of Pigs, telling Kennedy it was a no-brainer, it was a slam dunk basis, basically. The CIA knew that it wasn't going to work very well, but they figured that they would start this invasion at the Bay of Pigs, and President Kennedy would be so embarrassed that he would do what they wanted to do, which was to bring in the Air Force and the Navy and so forth to invade Cuba to support these Cuban exiles who were returning in the Bay of Pigs. That's what they wanted Kennedy to do. Kennedy said, if you think this plan is so great, then go ahead with it. But do not count on me to use the U.S. military to back it up if it doesn't work. And they said, oh, don't worry, it'll work, it'll work. They knew full well it wasn't going to work, okay? And they just figured that once they had the thing going, Kennedy would have no choice but to send in the Air Force and cover these troops, and then it would become a pretext for an invasion. Well, of course, John Kennedy knew that it could bring about World War III in a nuclear age, with the Russians, and he was not going to put the world in jeopardy for this crazy harebrained CIA plan, the Bay of Pigs. So he stuck to his guns. He did not do what the CIA was hoping to trap him into doing. And many people say that was his first big strike against him, why he was killed. All right. And there were many things subsequently. Okay, Kennedy went along with Laos becoming a neutral country. They felt they gave it away to he gave it away to the communists. Before he was killed, he was getting us out of Vietnam. Not only was he doing that, but the Diem brothers who were running Vietnam didn't want us there anymore anyway. They felt that Kennedy wasn't going to back them, so they were saying, "Why don't you guys leave?" So the Diem brothers get assassinated and killed, okay? And then not long thereafter, John Kennedy gets assassinated and killed as well. Well, in any case, why am I going through all this? I'm going through all this, friends, because Alan Dulles, okay, of the famous Dulles brothers, right? You had Alan running the CIA, and John Foster Dulles had been running the State Department under Dwight Eisenhower, Dwight David Eisenhower. And then... Alan Dulles stayed on into the new Kennedy administration running the CIA. Well, Alan Dulles should have been suspect number one in Kennedy's assassination. All right. He had been dishonorably discharged, as it were. Okay. Kennedy at least had the decency not to fire Alan Dulles immediately after the Bay of Pigs. He waited until, I think, a few months anyhow. And then he fired him, and there was a big shakeup. Well, you know, you're messing with the Dulles brothers of Wall Street, basically, okay? You know, the CIA being the Wall Street enforcement arm, all right? And, you know, you just don't do this to these patricians. You know, Kennedy, they were probably looking at as some kind of a traitor to his class or something. You know, that's what they also called Franklin Roosevelt. But anybody should have suspected Alan Dulles as a prime suspect in the assassination of JFK. Well, what happened to Alan Dulles? I'll tell you what happened to him. You know, Lyndon Johnson puts him on the Warren Commission to investigate the death of John F. Kennedy. Now, how's that? Now, if that's not the fox guarding the hen house, I don't know what is. All right, so Alan Dulles gets put onto the Warren Commission team where he can just sit there and, you know, gatekeep the information coming and going from the CIA, have his eye on everything in case the investigation starts to go to places that the CIA doesn't want it to go. So Alan Dulles was a prime suspect, and there he was, you know, the fox guarding the hen house. All right, so, and hey, that's just a little bit of history there about the CIA. You know, I make the analogy between Alan Dulles being on the Warren Commission, watching the evidence come and go in the JFK assassination inquiry, and now back to what I started about, the town of Pont-Saint-Esprit in southern France, not far from Marseille, which was targeted by the CIA in 1951 in a weaponization of LSD, a testing of that, okay, and the town went crazy. Well, who goes in to do the investigation as to what happened to these poor people but none other than the Sandoz Pharmaceutical Corporation from Basel, Switzerland? Well, these are the people who know what LSD is because they made LSD, and they made it out of synthesizing compounds that are found in a natural fungus, ergot, that grows on rye. Okay, so they went in there and they said it looked like, you know, this cover story came out, looked like it was ergot poisoning. Well, you know, most forensic chemists in those days wouldn't even know what to look for LSD. It was a top secret compound, practically. Okay, the Nazis were using it. I'll tell you about that. The Nazis were using it. They wanted to try to use it on a battlefield. But more after these breaks. This is Tom Kiley, INM War Report Radio. We're talking about the Hank Albarelli book, which is going around the world right now. A Terrible Mistake: The Murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Cold War Experiments. We'll be right back.
Come on.
All right, good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here on the great GCN Radio Network, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, where we bring you the news the networks won't tell you. And that's certainly what we're talking about today. Just an incredible job by Hank Albarelli Jr. and his 900-plus page book called A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Cold War Experiments. Give us a ring, 866-582-9933. The phone lines are open, 866-582-9933. And I'd like to apologize to Pat, who was holding on the line. I didn't see that you were there. Pat, are you there? Hello, is Pat there in Illinois? Hi, Pat. Thank you for calling in. And when we're finished talking, stay on the line so that you can give my producer your name and address, and I'll be happy to send you off a copy of Hank's book.
Great. I really love your show. I listen every day, and this topic I really love because I just got done reading the book Sinister Forces by Peter LaVenda.
Yeah, he's actually a good friend of Hank Albarelli's. And
really?
They're published by the same publisher, Trine Day.
Yeah, I recognize that too. But the discussion about the CIA and Kennedy and Frank Olson, all that, that really intrigues me. I'm really firm believer that they were an integral part in the assassination of JFK.
Well, they certainly are the prime culprit, if you ask me, the prime suspect in any kind of a real investigation. Don't forget, Alan Dulles was drummed out of the Corps, kind of in disgrace, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not
yeah.
the kind of guy who takes that thing sitting down, I don't think, right?
Yeah. I think he definitely had a grudge against Kennedy, if nothing else.
And what do you think of the fact that he's then, sitting, you know, very, very much, in fact, like Philip Zelikow from the Bush White House,
exactly.
sitting on the 9/11 investigation,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. And the head guy at that.
And, you know, once you're in the CIA, you're in for life. It's like the mafia, right? So
right.
Kennedy can throw him out, but don't tell me he's not working with those guys every day. And it's a very tenuous connection at
best. Well, Richard Nixon had to be involved. Gerald Ford had to be involved. George H.W. Bush had to be involved. All of those guys had to have some involvement in it. You follow them, their careers all the way
Arlen
through.
Arlen Specter with the famous
yeah.
magic bullet and
yeah.
so forth, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
If you want to get ahead, you play by this rule, and you will get ahead. But hopefully you won't get caught. And if you get caught, you will suicide yourself.
yeah, that's correct. What do you think of first of all, thank you very much for listening to the program. And by the way, you know, on Facebook, we have a Facebook page up there called INN World Report Radio. We're going to try to keep you guys informed and everything. But if you've been listening for a while, you know that we've been covering this story, this story about the Olson book, right?
Yes.
Well, have you seen how it is exploding around the world right now?
You know, I have to admit, I have not realize that, but I have caught you talking about it, but I haven't seen how much is exploding elsewhere because I don't watch a lot of regular, you know, news.
I don't watch any news. I'm saying if you use
basically,
the web.
That's what I'm hearing from you, so I take your word for it. That
do
it is
do
exploding.
You use the internet at all, Pat?
Yes. Yeah, so, I do that. I do a lot of surfing on the internet.
Here's what I'd like you to do. And maybe call back in the next couple of days or so. But if I don't like to use Google to search with because
right.
I don't like anybody saving my searches and so
right.
forth. But I must say for newspaper stories, I do go there still for that. All right.
Yes.
But the way I do it is I don't just search regular Google. I go to news.google.com, you know, which is all their newspaper stuff. And in the search box there, if you type in some words, you can search. And the default is to search for the news, not on the web. And so if you put Albarelli's name in there, or if you put Pont-Saint-Esprit, the name of this French town, P-O-N-T space S-T period space E-S-P-I-R-T, right, you come back with hundreds of stories now around the world about this thing. So we all heard it here first. I was probably one of Hank's first interviews, he tells me.
Yeah.
And I've been working together with him trying to get the book out there. I may be going to France with him to cover the story over there as he goes to the town of Pont-Saint-Esprit to meet the people. What do you think of that?
Well, that'd be awesome. You know, I am just absolutely amazed by the information that's available on the internet you know, when I was in high school over 30 years ago, it was history was something that I could care less about, and I never paid attention to it at all, and I can't get enough of it now.
Oh, that's great. You know, and also you got to watch out because the history books and the Internet are filled with disinformation.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. It's, you can't believe everything you read on the Internet any more than watch on TV or if anything on TV.
Especially like places like Wikipedia, you know, anybody can go in there.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a great starting point if you don't know anything else about something, but take it all with a grain of salt and cross-reference, you know?
Right. Right, exactly.
That's what I do. Well, listen, Pat, I want to thank you very much for calling. Stay on the line and give our producer your address and your name, and I'm going to send you out a copy of Hank's book, and then I'd love to hear from you
That's great.
All right?
Okay,
Thank you very much. All right, friends, you can give us a call. I think we've got Franklin in New Mexico. Franklin, we'll be getting to you in just a moment. The phone number is 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933, toll free. Give us a call. Hello, Franklin, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, but you know what? You don't have to call me sir. The first thing I learned when I went to boot camp in the Army, you know, you're so scared on your first day, you start calling everybody who's barking at you sir. And the drill instructor yelled at me, "Don't call me sir. I work for a living." So that's just a little Army joke there.
Very good.
Okay. So how you doing, Frank? What's on your mind today?
Franklin. I'm interested in this book you're talking about this murdered scientist. Sounds like a very intriguing book.
Have you ever heard of the story before?
No, this is it's new to me, and it sounds like I'm a big conspiracy nut, so this is just something I could sink my teeth into.
Well, it happens to be true as well. I'll give you a quick history on it. It's actually a matter of folklore almost at this point. In New York City here, about a mile and a half or so north of where I am talking to you from right now, in the Statler Hilton Hotel, which is now called the Hotel Pennsylvania on 7th Avenue, just across the street from Madison Square Garden. Anybody who comes to New York, if you go to Macy's, you walk out the door on Macy's 7th Avenue, so I turn left, cross over 34th Street, and you'll be right there at the Statler Hilton Hotel. And now it's called the Hotel Pennsylvania. Anyhow, on a November night in 1951, through a 10th or 13th story window, I'm not certain, flew a man named Frank Olson, who was an Army officer, a scientist, worked at Camp Dietrich. Now it's called Fort Dietrich. He worked on anthrax and the weaponization of anthrax and so forth at Camp Dietrich, Maryland. And he was recruited and worked for about 10 years for the CIA. They grabbed him because of his experience, and he helped work on things like the weaponization of LSD. They were using LSD to interrogate people with. They had an idea. Actually, the Nazis had this idea as well. If you could put LSD over a battlefield somehow, you could win a battle without firing a shot. Everybody would be hallucinating and dropping their guns and stuff. He was working on projects like that. And it looks like he was part of an experiment that the Army conducted, the Army and the CIA, a joint experiment in France in the town of Pont-Saint-Esprit in August of 1951. Hundreds of people went crazy. Some people died, jumped out of windows, and so forth. And the cover story was that it was ergot poisoning, which is the natural fungus that the Sandoz Pharmaceutical Company in Basel, Switzerland, used to create LSD from. And apparently the scientist Olson got disgusted by all this stuff and started complaining about it to people who didn't have a high enough clearance. And he ended up dying.
It sounds like he was one of the expendable ones.
Expendable Elite, yes. Another book from the Trine Day people. Franklin, stay on the line and give them your address and name, and I'll send you off a book, all right?
Great. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. All right, bye-bye. Friends. That wraps up a show. I'm sorry we had a guest, but he didn't make it. So you are the guest. Thank you very much. And we'll be back tomorrow with another great show for you. This is Tom Kiley, INM World Report Radio. See you tomorrow, 4 p.m. Central Time. Have a great night.